Are there any other incidences in the 1943-1945 period that you feel were noteworthy? I mean, you've talked of the time, Sam. You know, what are the only other events that stand out in your mind? Well, what did you do after you had finished with the Torrance plant?
With the Torrance plant?
Yeah.
Well, after the Torrance plant tour was over, I came back to Washington and resumed activities in the office there, which now included frequent visits to the pilot plant and evaluation laboratory that had been established in the rubber program, under the rubber program at Akron, operated by the University of Akron. And
when did that come into operation?
Well, that got into operation. Of course, that was started along with the rest of the program, and it was running well in late 1943. I was able to pay more attention to that after I got back from the tour in California. And that pilot plant was equipped to study reactions on a scale from test tube to several hundred gallon batches. And new formulations could be made there, and reacted in the polymerization stage, and through coagulation and and drying and evaluation in their testing laboratory, and then when the product looks sufficiently sufficiently promising, batches could be made in quantities suitable for tire tests.
What else did you do apart from working in conjunction with the polymer plant for the project, the pilot plant?
Well, it was all based on, it was all a matter of trying to improve the quality of the product.
You're, though, what essentially, what one might call an administrative role, that you sort of went in and oversaw that things went.
Yeah, but I generated ideas and fed to them, too. Of course, they generated a lot in the laboratory. I would, it was a large, it was pretty much administrative work.
Can you think of any of the better ideas you thought of in that period?
Well, most of the ideas that worked out were not thought of by any one person, but this is an example here. This is a, here's a thing. This is the history of cold rubber.
I'll be coming on to that later.
And that's one of the, I would say that's the primary achievement of the research in the program. Mm. And of course all this time there were every possible variable was being considered and tested. In other words, changes in variations of the conversion in the process, changes of the temperature of polymerization, changes of the type of catalyst used, changes in type of monomers used, maybe trying a different co-monomer than styrene, anything like that. We explore all possibilities of those variations.
Yeah.
And out there in Torrance, we tested varying the conversion right in the plant reactors, mm-hmm. also varying the temperature of polymerization.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop the temperature down a little bit within the capacity of the plant,
mm-hmm.
you get a slightly better rubber, but it didn't make enough difference in the tire quality to justify cutting down on the production to that extent.
Who were particularly associated with that work on the temperature?
Various people. One fellow that was a resident manager of the Akron pilot plant was William Taft. He's dead now, and his boss was J.W. Shade. He's dead. He was older than Taft, and he's dead. In the pilot plant, the California Development Program, James Troyan was looked after some of it. he looked after period, and I looked after it for another, and a fellow named John Fenbresk looked after another point. He's largely responsible for changing the agitation to give a to save modifier. It was a time when the modifier was being used at a higher consumption rate than was anticipated. And he did some experiments changing the agitation in the plant to bring it down to a minimum. He's dead now.
Yes, Fenbresk I have heard of before, and would you like to say a bit more about him as a person?
Well, that was his contribution. He went out there. He wasn't there when I was there, but he was there one period ahead of my stay. And he designed some blades that were shorter, had shorter arm length, and had a different paddle and a different speed. And it made for an economy in this mercaptan modifier, dodecyl mercaptan, a little fly there, I was going to swat. He later went to work for Celanese Corporation, and he was very, very active in one job or another in industry. He jumped from one, he went from Celanese, I think, to one of the oil companies, and he rose to a pretty high position with the Mobile Oil Company when he died in an automobile accident.
Is he dead now, I suppose?
Hmm?
Is he dead now, I suppose?
Yeah, he's dead now. He died about he died about 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You said you were saying at lunch that you had this German rubber that you
some of that was sent out to the Akron laboratory. They tested it there, and they also sent it to one of the tire factories, and they made tires out of it, and we ran it on the tire test fleet.
How much of it do you have altogether?
Well, what they had, I don't know. They must have had about something like a ton of it or something like that.
And how did you come?
Of course, they did this at the end of the war, I think.
Oh, I see. This is after the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. I was under the impression you got some before the war.
Oh, they had little bits of it before then, but not enough to really get a good test of it.
And what was the general conclusion about the quality of the German rubber compared with the American rubber?
Well, I think the conclusion should have been that it really worked pretty well in tires, but of course the processing and in the tires would be the bugbear. It wasn't our tire factories wouldn't want to go through that heat softening process, and so
to jump ahead a little bit, were you surprised, and when I say you, I mean you and all the other people who were working on the project, were you surprised at how little the German knew about synthetic rubber when the war ended?
I think the main thing they didn't. I don't fault them on not knowing as much as we did, except that possible business of using softener to make the rubber more processable.
Mm-hmm.
They, matter of fact, our cold rubber is based on an idea that Livingston got from them. But they hadn't gone ahead and, well, I guess they didn't have time to go ahead and test it with refrigeration, polymerization.
I say, did you always work for Dr. Elgin throughout the war? I mean, was he your boss throughout the war?
Well, no, there's between, for a time, I reported to Charles W. Perry, who worked for Elgin.
Okay.
And then in 1944, when the Office of Rubber Director was abolished, and I was transferred over to Rubber Reserve, officially Rubber Reserve Company. Then at that point, I started working for Dr. A.E. Boss, B-O-S-S. And he's dead now. He died at his desk. About 3 years before I came down here, which was about 1955 or something like that. And then I worked, there was a rotating, they brought in some people on a rotational basis from the rubber companies. There was Dr. Street, J.N. Street from Firestone, Dr. Harlan Trumbull from Goodrich, Dr. M.G. Shepherd from U.S. Rubber, and Dr. Clifford from Goodyear. And during those successive, something like 6 month periods, I worked for them in succession.
Did you know, did you ever know Dr. Dresser before he ceased to be rubber director?
Dresser?
No, Dresser. William Dresser, who was the original synthetic rubber director.
Oh, Jeffers, no, I never met him. I never met Jeffers.
No.
I've met Bradley Dewey. I never met Jeffers.
Did you know Dewey well?
No, I didn't know him well.
No. Any impressions of him?
No, not particularly.
After Dewey retired, or resigned, I suppose, I'd rather say, I was rubber director in the fall of 1944, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened? I mean, did the whole business was turned over to the Rubber Reserve Company, as you said. You went to work for the Rubber
Reserve. Yeah, well, you see, the Rubber Reserve Company has, in the meantime, been operating all together as a unit, mostly looking after the operation of the plant,
right.
Supervising the operation. The rubber director was responsible for making sure he got everything he needed to work. The Rubber Reserve Company got all its necessary building materials and equipment, and also the research was under Rubber Director, and also the allocation of rubber was under Rubber Director.
Mm.
But then when the Rubber Director was abolished, the Office of Rubber Director, the research was tossed over to Rubber Reserve to carry on, and the rubber allocation was shunted into the Department of Commerce, except that a good bit of the allocation was given to Rubber Reserve also. So the Rubber Reserve was pretty much all the main thing about rubber after
1944. Hmm. What about the office of the rubber director? I suppose it was a bit before your time, in a way. But did you ever know Williams?
No, I met Williams, but he was in the... there was a distinction there between research and development. I was in development rather than research.
Right.
And Williams was in charge of research.
Right, right. And what about Calvin Fuller?
Well, Fuller was under Williams in research.
Mm. Do you know him, ever know
him? Well, I knew Fuller pretty well, yeah.
Mm. Any impression of him?
No, what was that? Oh, I was a very competent, likable fellow.
Anyone else in that, you know, on the research side that you were at the office of Rabbit Director? What about Ray Dinsmore, for example?
Dinsmore, yeah, I knew him. I'd met him years before, but I hadn't met him more than, I scarcely met him a few years before, but yeah, I knew him in the rubber program.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else like that?
Mm-hmm. Of course, from Goodyear, there was Ray Dunbrook.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead now. Jim Dionne, by the way, who was president of the American Chemical Society not too long ago, and he was active in our office in charge of research in the rubber reserve on leave from Goodyear for a while.
Would you like to say anything about him?
Well, he's a very competent and very likable fellow.
Mm.
He might be well if you might want to talk to him when you're in Akron.
So when the war ended,
he's got several he's got an article in here, a review of,
yeah, we have copies of
it.
When the war ended in 1945, did you ever think you would be going back to Union Carbide now the war had ended? Did you think that your job had ended?
Right at that time, it didn't seem like it was ending, although it was tapering down. But there was sort of a question of what was going to happen, and it seemed very interesting to me to stay on and see what did happen,
right.
And whether this industry now was going to just fall flat on its face because it had rubber back, nobody wanted to be synthetic, and just, or whether it would keep going. And I had an agreement with Union Carbide. I could stay on leave extend my leave for a while, and so I did that, and that kept on, and I got my leave extended from 45 on through 46 and 47 and 48, and then 49. I talked to them again, and they said, well, it looks as if you ought to either come back now or not. And so I said, well, I think I'll just stay where I am. And so that's the way that ended. And so at that time, I terminated all connections with Union Carbide.
How do you think you would have stood financially? I mean, would you have been, from a financial point of view, would you have been any better off going back to Carbide or not?
Well, I don't know. It was hard to tell. They would have taken me back and met the salary I was now getting in the rubber in the government.
Right.
But they didn't offer me any big increase to come back. So that was another reason why I just.
Now, I think in about 46, the Office of Synthetic Rubber was mm-hmm. created. Now, when was that created? Can you remember?
Well, they changed that. They jumbled that around back and forth. I mean, it probably may be in this book here, but...
Okay, fine. Well, let's not worry.
You've got a copy of that.
I've got a copy of that. Let's not worry about
that's
that.
That's really got the gist of the changes in it pretty well.
I mean, in 1945, there was this great worry, wasn't there, that natural rubber was going to come back onto the market on full strength, and Synthetic rubber, we're going to have a hard time with it. What would you know? Can you shed any light on that?
Well, this sort of tells a story here, pretty much. See, 45 with the war, this is the fiscal year 45, which was the year ending June 30th, 1945.
Right.
From that year led the peak production because there were years going all out for the war effort. Mm. Of course, then when the war pooped out in late that year, the big impulse fell off some, so a lot of the rubber synthetic natural wasn't back strong yet, so it's just still going on pretty well. But it began to cut in here with the natural rubber coming back. And then in 48, the natural rubber, I guess you could get all you wanted. Mm-hmm. And also, here's the price of natural rubber. Natural rubber came down in price there, and we were selling synthetic for 14 and a half. Well, people went to natural rubber. And even here, it was still about the same way. But we began to make a little bit of cold rubber then. And then in 1950, natural rubber suddenly went up in price because of the Korean War.
Right, right. Well, I want to ask about the Korean War period later. But we don't really trying to get across. You know, in 1945, I mean, we've looked at what actually happened, and that's very interesting. But in 1945, what did this great worry that synthetic rubber was going to be wiped off the map?
Well, there was still enough demand for it, so it orders didn't fall off. You know, I mean, and also there was this. They were still operating under the emergency regulations that, I guess, required people to use a certain amount of synthetic until I guess they couldn't get the natural anyway, so they had to use the synthetic. And so the plants were kept running just to meet the requirements.
Right. Now, so we're now in 1945, and you became chief of the research and development division in 1950. What did you do in that interim period? You know, what kind of activities were you involved in?
Well, of course, beginning of the year, whoever's in charge of research and development had to prepare one of these to go to the board of directors of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation.
So what are those? Those are sort of reports.
This is
after you became chief of the division, though.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about the period before you became chief of the division.
Well, before I became chief, I was helping to work these things up.
Ah, I see.
And I was...
So basically you remained in a kind of an administrative position regarding development.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any particular highlights of that period that sort of stand out? Any sort of particular crises or breakthroughs or development? I'm going to talk about cold rubber later, but anything else that sort of stands out in your mind?
No, I don't know. Well, let's see. You're talking about
45, 50.
Well, they're still running the...
Wait a moment.